Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Don't miss out on your chance to listen to four-time Super Bowl champ Charlie Weiss on the only podcast solely devoted to everyone's favorite position in football, the quarterback. Listen for free now by subscribing wherever you get podcasts or by going to celebrityqb.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. I am your host, Dwayne Callender, and if you can't tell by just my lack of energy tonight, it's still stemming from the fact of the jaw-dropping news that Eli Manning may have played his last meaningful down for the New York Giants in what has truly become one of the most rock-bottom, shameful seasons in Giants history. Now, I will delve into the Eli and Giants debacle in a bit. I'm gonna try to focus on just at least doing the waiver wire pickups before I have my cathartic meltdown, if you will. So please spare me that opportunity. But I will at least give some advice on how to manage week 13, because this is a pivotal week for potential playoff berths, and also it could be the final week of the regular season for some leagues. I know some leagues go to week 14 for four team leagues, but I'll go through the waiver wire pickups, if you will. All right, so there is news that Josh Gordon, after his lengthy suspension and rehabilitation from his drug addiction, is going to be active for the Browns this upcoming weekend against the Chargers. I mean, from a fantasy outlook, yes, I would say Josh Gordon is a speculative ad. There's no question about that. There's always potential given just how talented a receiver Josh Gordon was in his prime. Yes, 2 years is a long time. So, again, this would be a speculative ad, not an ad and play. So this would be a stash, and you're hoping to see some kind of fire generate. But, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily look for an immediate impact this week. So my pick for an immediate impact would be Corey Coleman, his teammate on the Browns. Coleman, you know, has come back from his hand injury. He's looked pretty good, and he's getting 8 targets a game on average. I mean, yes, the Browns are not an ideal situation in terms of fantasy offense, but again, given this late in the year, you're looking for at least a bit of offense in unlikely spots. So if you got injuries, or if you're dealing with the Michael Crabtree suspension, which it appears has been going to be knocked out to one game, so you're looking for a fill-in, you could do worse than Corey Coleman. Next up, another wide receiver, and we're actually looking at the Bills this time. Zay Jones has been getting plenty of targets. He was a hot commodity beginning of the year, has been dropped by numerous owners for good reason. I mean, he's should be less than 30% owned in leagues. again, this is more of a fill-in, worst-case scenario. Plugging them in there, just based off of injuries or suspensions, if you will. The Bills have a tough matchup against New England, but again, this is one of those matchups where I also expect New England to win handily. So I think there's opportunity so for garbage points as well. So again, you can look at Zay Jones on other positional front. I would say that in terms of the running back position, one name you can consider moving forward this week is Jacquizz Rodgers of the Tampa Bay Bucks. You can also take a look at Peyton Barber. Doug Martin left the game with a concussion last week. His status is still going to be unknown coming into the game Sunday. So I would say your best bet is to actually prepare as if Martin is not going to be ready for the game against Green Bay. And it's a primo matchup. The Packers are not very good against the run. So this is an actual opportunity to get low-end RB1 status if Martin can't go. So again, one of those opportunities where, you know, you've got an injury, take advantage of it, plug in a guy. It's most likely gonna be Rodgers getting the nod here over Barber. I know Barber got the goal line carries. So if you're in a touchdown dependent league, I would shift your focus over to Barber. But if it's a factoring in PPR, I would say you've got a better chance with Rodgers just getting additional touches. So we'll have a bit more info as we get later in the week, but since we're coming up on the waiver wire deadlines, again, this is more along the lines of you got to be better safe than sorry and just pounce on them now. So in terms of the running backs, again, Jamal Williams had the monster game for Green Bay. It's very unlikely at this point that he hasn't been picked up, but you know, in the off chance you've been in a league where guys have been asleep at the wheel, I would just double check to make sure he hasn't been picked up yet. Another name I would also take a look at would be, and this is again more of a dart throw than anything else, but it can't hurt at this stage of the season where you're trying to at least get some value added, would be looking at Kenyon Drake of the Dolphins. You know, not a great matchup against the Broncos, but again, if you're lacking running back depth just for any particular reason of whether it's due to injury or something else came up, you can take a look at him. Rex Burkhead is another option on the Patriots. You know, he's been a weird little dynamic timeshare with Deion Lewis. James White has fallen by the wayside. You're not seeing the Mike Gillisley show anymore with the Patriots after his fumbling issues. So it's been a mix of Burkhead and Deion Lewis. Burkhead's been getting the goal line carries for the moment with the Patriots. So I would definitely take a look at Burkhead. Deion Lewis has probably already been picked up in leagues. And if you haven't, and I would also just do another check. And again, 99, I wouldn't say 99%, but I would say at least 70% of leagues. Samaje Perine has also been picked up. But, you know, in the off chance, someone fell asleep at the wheel and didn't pick him up ahead of the Giants game. Yeah, there's always a possibility of that happening, but highly unlikely. But, you know, I've learned over the years not to underestimate other owners just not seizing on an opportunity in certain leagues. So you never know what can happen. So that pretty much does it for the waiver wire selections. You know, the issue I see, and you know, it's been apparent, is just with the amount of injuries that have happened in the year, it's really hard to kind of get behind certain players. I mean, if you're really reaching, just because you're looking for a roster spot, you can pick up Rod Smith officially for the Cowboys. Darren McFadden has retired, so Smith has been the clear-cut number two behind Alfred Morris. And, you know, if Alfred Morris still struggles to get yardage, I do see the Cowboys leaning more towards Smith getting the bulk of the carries moving forward. So I definitely think that's a possibility down the road. The only problem is that because we're still late in the year, you could be waiting on that train, and it may not happen before Zeke's suspension ends. So, again, it's a tight situation, but sometimes you're just kind of rolling the dice and hoping that it pans out. So that's what I've been looking at in terms of the fantasy waiver wire look for week 13. In terms of some other matchups to keep in mind, I would take a good look at the defenses that are available on waiver wires this week, just because it's coming up late again in the year. So you're going to try to look for compelling matchups. Chances are the Chargers defense has been picked up just because they've been on a roll the last 3 weeks. So chances are they're not available, but you never know. Another matchup you can consider in certain leagues, you might see the Titans defense, the Ravens defense, or the Bears defense. All three of those defenses have premium matchups this week, just because the Titans have the Texans and Tom Savage, who struggles reading coverages and has been throwing a number of picks. I mean, I can go into Tom Savage just ripping on him, and I was planning to for his press conference last night, but the Giants news had me just still just so deflated today. You know, I think the Titans would be a good pickup for week 13. The Ravens have a matchup against the Lions. You know, as I've often said on this podcast, I find the Lions offense constipating. There's nothing that really scares me about the Lions offense. Yes, they've still been able to put up some points on defenses, but I think by and large, you can still get generate points off of them with turnovers. So I think the Ravens are a safe start there. And the Bears defense, while it's not great by any stretch of the imagination, they are a very competent defense, and San Francisco has not been a good team throughout the year at all. Now, things change a bit because Jimmy Garoppolo finally gets a start. I mean, Niners fans have been waiting for this for a couple of weeks now, and I mean, literally, Jimmy Garoppolo got 7 seconds to play in an NFL game last week and managed to throw a touchdown pass. And of course, the Niners fans on Twitter went insane, given the fact that CJ Beathard got the entire game to flounder against the Seahawks, and Seattle wasn't doing much on offense, and yet still they refused to put Jimmy G in the game. And of course, Jimmy G just shows up and puts it in the end zone with the game at the very end. But, you know, we'll see what Garoppolo has on deck for Chicago, but I still say that the bulk of the work of the Niners offense leads me to believe that they'll have another tough day in the office. Garoppolo may give them a bit of a spark, but I still think that Chicago is a decent enough option that you can look at starting this week, just if you don't have a top-tier defense and you've been kind of circling them in and out of lineups. The reason being I'm saying this is the fact that you've got, you know, a couple of typical matchups that you would play. I mean, the Seahawks have to play Philly. I mean, Philly also has to play the Seattle offense. Again, for Philly defense purposes, you know, Seattle does give up a lot of sacks, but Russell Wilson also can make some plays. So it's not a great matchup for them. Seattle's defense is going to have trouble covering Philly, just with the amount of options Carson Wentz has and the fact that they don't have the linebacking core. Cam Chancellor's out for the rest of the season. I mean, it's just a mass unit in terms of injuries with the Seahawks. So, again, not liking the Seahawks defense moving forward the rest of the year, and definitely would avoid them in this matchup against the Eagles. So just a couple of things to keep in mind. You might want to consider rotating defenses if you've got teams of that nature with difficult matchups this week, rather than trying to ride them just on namesake alone. All right, so let's segue back to the Giants. I mean, we already buried the Giants weeks ago, but the understanding was that at the very least, the Giants organization would do what it could to put up the pretense that this team was at least trying to do right by its players. So yes, you can lose, but you can at least lose with some dignity. Instead, what the Giants have done is offer Eli Manning a piecemeal option of starting two or three series, so basically playing a quarter of a game and then getting benched in favor of Geno Smith, and eventually it's going to be Davis Webb, our third-round draft pick this year from West Virginia, to be our QB. Now, I just have to shake my head at this, because there are a number of reasons why this decision makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And I had to correct myself. I said Davis Webb was West Virginia. Geno Smith was from West Virginia for college. Davis Webb was a Cal player, formerly of Texas Tech, because he was Patrick Mahomes' teammate. Got beat out by Patrick Mahomes and then transferred to Cal for his senior year. But anyway, going back into why this doesn't make any sense for the Giants. So from the timing perspective, if the Giants were going to go down this path, and they basically, back when they read out this piecemeal statement of it's for the evaluation of player talent. The issue being that if you're truly evaluating player talent, you would actually need to have talent in place to evaluate players. The Giants have so many injuries between their offensive line and the fact that we have no starting wide receivers at this point, because they're still not sure what the exact cause of Sterling Shepard's migraines are, that he's still iffy for playing this weekend out in LA against the Raiders. So again, no starting wide receivers. Evan Ingram's going through a rough patch as a rookie. He's been dropping passes the last month now, so he's actually leading the league in drops, which is hard to imagine given how many drops the Raiders receivers have had this year. But Evan Ingram is up there in the league now for drops. You know, it's just been a rough year. And yes, we know Eli has been dinking and dunking, but that's what the play calling has been, because they know the offensive line can't pass protect. So if dinking and dunking is the actual game plan, why are we supposed to be surprised that you haven't gotten the offensive production out of the unit that you were intending it to be? This is such a failure of management that the fact that they can't even own up to the fact that they blew it is so sickening. I mean, evaluating talent as an excuse, it's just the lamest excuse possible that you can throw out there, when in fact the whole strategy for the Giants is to tank for a top three pick. It's plain and simple that's what the Giants are doing. And for an NFL franchise of the caliber of the New York Giants, with the history the Giants have of being one of the more stand-up organizations in the league, to actually go down this route is pretty brazen, given their history. They even in the years where we've had some bad quarterbacks, we can go back through the Dave Brown era, the bouncing back and forth with Kent Graham and Dave Brown, Danny Cannell. I mean, we've had our fill of bad quarterbacks in the past. You can go into the pre-Sims era in the early 70s. But rest assured, the Giants have gone through rough patches in the past. It's just the fact that in the past, the Giants have actually handled it with some shred of credibility and dignity. Offering Eli a chance to extend his career start streak just for the sake of padding his stats is something that Eli was never going to suggest to do. So the fact that they even offered it to him shows how clearly out of touch they are, because now they're trying to spin this as a story where Eli chose to sit. Eli chose to sit because you gave him no opportunity to actually fight for a job. If you're telling him that regardless of score, you're going to pull him, of course he's going to say that this is a farce and he's going to decline to actually suit up and start. So now you've got a chance to further embarrass the franchise by having Eli back up Geno Smith, who we know can't play. We know can't throw spirals in the swirling winds of Giants Stadium, because we saw him struggle for years with the Jets. I mean, for those of you who may remember him in college, he literally quit during the Pinstripe Bowl in Yankee Stadium when it was snowing. I mean, that should have been a clear red flag sign to the Jets, but clearly the Jets aren't the best scouting department that we've ever seen in the NFL history. Now, Jerry Reese plucked Geno because he was dirt cheap, and Geno's going to be a free agent. So Geno was not looking to go anywhere and was looking for an opportunity to maybe start if anything went wrong. Now that the Giants are in a position where they're clearly trying to tank, they know Davis Webb isn't ready to play yet. So basically, we're going to be tanking because they know that Geno Smith can't actually win football games. Suffice to say, this is tanking 101. I mean, it's blatantly obvious. But the fact that the Giants are actually going down this path and trying to spin it as player evaluation, it's just insulting to the intelligence of Giants fans. Everyone knows what this is. Now, you can feel how you want to feel about Eli Manning. I'm not going to try to change your opinion. There are things that Eli has done that, you know, as a QB that, like, just you want to rip your hair out. But at the end of the day, when he is your most tenured player on the roster, and he has been nothing but exemplary in how he conducts himself with the media, with fans, in terms of every promotional obligation that the organization has thrown at him, with a plum, just class all around. To put him in a situation like this, where he is now going to be the media spectacle and hovering over everything, so it's now the cameras are going to be on him the entire time, looking for any kind of show of emotion that's negative to further downplay the organization. I mean, obviously, Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese are responsible for this, but they couldn't come to this decision without the express written approval of John Mara, part owner of the Giants, and Steve Tisch, who's the other part owner. So this is on the Maras and Steve Tisch as well. Because, honestly, this is a crisis of leadership and the lack thereof. There's no word from John Mara or Steve Tisch. They're leaving it up to McAdoo and Jerry Reese to make it seem like these two clowns are actually running the show, when we all know, because it was already leaked that Mara was already requesting that the scouts start looking at college QBs. Mara's already moved on from Eli. Now, the only question is, why the hell it took so long for this to happen? If they didn't actually come to an agreement with Eli at the trading deadline that he needs to waive his no-trade clause to accept the trade to Jacksonville or anywhere else that needed a QB, because if there's anything that the Colin Kaepernick situation has proven, is that the NFL is in desperate need of starting quarterbacks on potential playoff teams. So the fact that this conversation may or may not have happened, but the fact that they couldn't get to an agreement with Eli to actually make a move just smacks of just how dysfunctional the Giants organization is at the moment. Because if the plan is to let Eli walk at the end of the year and cut him, instead of trading him, because now we can't even trade him because we've lost our leverage. Because what's the plan going to be? You're going to evaluate Davis Webb, and if he doesn't pan out, you're going to bring back Eli for 2018? Are we serious here? It's frustrating, and I'm already tired of talking about it with people tonight, but the lack of foresight here is just so strikingly apparent that this seems to be a decision where Jerry Reese and McAdoo are making a desperate attempt of showing Mara that they do know what they're doing, and they can at least get Davis Webb ready if they get enough snaps in. That it wasn't a waste of a third round pick, and that he could be a potential in the future. That's what they're trying to sell to save their jobs on, is potential. The fact that this went down the way that it did is shameful to say the least. I mean, Wellington Mara, no way this happens, this type of debacle happens under his watch. Even when you come down to the situation where Ray Hanley picked Jeff Hostetler over Phil Sims, there was at least a precedent that Hostetler guided us through the playoffs. So you still had that camp that actually said that we should move on from Sims because we had Haas lead us through the playoffs in 91. You could at least, I mean, in 90, and to be the starting quarterback in 91. You could at least make the case there. To let Eli hang out in the wind and be subject to the media for the rest of the season without actually having a proper plan in place to have a succession plan, because there is no plan at this point. The plan is to tank and get a high draft pick and draft a QB, but now you've got Eli and you got to figure out what you're going to do. If this was going to be the plan, this needed to have been accelerated months ago. Now, McAdoo hinted at it, but no one actually thought he would execute it because he would have needed Mara's sign off on it. If Mara dug in his feet and was stubborn about it and didn't actually seriously contemplate having the idea of trading Eli Manning before the trading deadline, that, again, like I said, is a failure of leadership. And now Mara's lead, I mean, yes, Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese have made this mess for the Giants this year. But the fact that Mara has let this melodrama play out in front of the media and the entire world and let these two chuckleheads take the fall for it, that's still on Mara. So, yes, I am beyond pissed with Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese. There's no question on that. And it's inexplicably frustrating as a Giants fan watching your team literally implode from just a lack of foresight and decision making in the process. Because at the end of the day, Mara calls the shots. Mara, if he was truly in the mindset of scouting college QBs weeks ago, then the succession plan should have already been in place, that thanking Eli for his service, telling him that, we're going to move on next year and that we want to give you an opportunity to be in the best position to win now for at least one more Super Bowl run, and sell the idea to him that way so he can have his choice of teams that he can at least entertain offers from. And if it didn't work out before the deadline, at least he gave it a best shot, and then Eli couldn't complain. This seems to be more along the lines of, okay, now we want to at least see Davis Webb, but we didn't have enough snaps in place, so we pitched the idea to Eli of, we're going to have you start games and then have Davis close out in the second half, without actually contemplating that Eli would say, no, I want to end my career with dignity here and just decline outright. Again, if they didn't contemplate that, then this season's even more screwed up than I w could have even possibly have imagined. It's just utterly depressing. So, on that cheery note, I'm going to sign off because, again, I just don't have it in me tonight to be up and go through the previews and everything else fantasy related, because as a football fan and just in general a sports enthusiast, it is hard to see someone like Eli get treated in this type of fashion. Yes, we know the team's bad. We know he's not the player he once was. But there's at least a somewhat unspoken rule that, yeah, at least give your veterans an opportunity to go out with dignity. That wasn't afforded to Eli here. He got a piecemeal offer that it was a take it or leave it. And if he took that offer, it would have been just so self-serving that there's no way possible Eli would have signed off on that. So the consecutive start streak ends at 210. And I would just say that for Eli's 14 years of service, it has been an honor and a privilege, even though the road has not been smooth at all at times. But it's always a measure of professionalism that, you know, you at least come to expect with Eli, no matter where things are going great or poorly, that he always kept it even keel. So even when he was emotional today, he never once criticized the organization. He always took it in stride with class, and that is the best way you can remember Eli Manning, is the fact that no matter what the situation was, he was always a company man, even when his company basically gave him the shaft. So that's all for this evening. Have a good evening, folks, and until next time.
The most talked about position in all of sports, the quarterback. And now there's a show solely dedicated to the most sought after role on the field, Celebrity QB, featuring four-time Super Bowl champion coach Charlie Weiss. Unlike other football shows, you'll get the inside scoop on all things quarterbacks. Like, is this the year Tom Brady finally looks his age? Will dating Danica Patrick distract Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, he's dating Danica Patrick, Charlie. We're interested in that, you know?
Well, I mean, Tommy's got Giselle. I'll take Giselle, okay?
Is Dak Prescott good enough to win a Super Bowl for the Cowboys? Which rookie quarterback has the best shot of making a positive impact in 2018?
How about intellectually, Charlie, as far as what they ask the quarterbacks to do now?
The game has changed, but the pressure that's put on quarterbacks, and it always been put on quarterbacks, is tremendous.
Join Charlie Weiss and co-host Steve Strout on an all-new podcast from Lasting Media, exclusively about quarterbacks. Subscribe now at Apple iTunes or wherever you listen to great podcasts. Celebrity QB, everyone's favorite position.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.